Daf Mem Dal. Today's learning sponsored by the Felder family for in honor of parents, grandparents, and children. So we are on Daf Mem Dal. We got around 7 lines down. The Gemara talking about Rava and Lulav and the Beit Mikdash and the Mikdash and Gvulin and so on. So the Gemara now says, Amar le'abayi le'Rava, ma'ishna Lulav de'avdina le'zecha shiva le'shiva zecha le'mikdash, ma'ishna Rava de'lavdina le'shiva zecha le'mikdash. Nowadays, as we know, there's no Beit Mikdash, of course. And there's no mitzvah in the Raisa of 7 days. The mitzvah of Lulav is only one day, Begvulin. And yet we still do the mitzvah of Lulav all 7 days as a Zeichel Mikdash. So why don't we do the same exact thing when it comes to the Rava of doing whatever the mitzvah of Rava means, taking the Rava, and we only do this Hoshana Rava? Why don't we do this all 7 days to go around? Yes, we do Hoshanas, but Hoshana is not within our Rava. So why don't we take in our Rava and do it all 7 days? We only do it on Hoshana Rava. Why is that? So Amar Lai Hol, the Adam Yotei De Chavasa Ba Rava Shiba Lulav. He says, because when we take the lulav and every day, there's an arava there as well, and we're yotzei the mitzvah of arava while shaking the dalet minim. So Gemara says, Amar le, hahu mishum lulav hu dekavir le. When we pick up the dalet minim, granted, there are aravos there, but that's not l'shei mitzvah arava, that's l'shei mitzvah lulav, that doesn't work. So the Gemara says, okay, maybe you're going to tell me, v'chitema deka magbile v'hadar magbile. Maybe you're going to tell me a person should take it twice. Pick it up once, l'shei dalet minim, and pick up the dal minim a second time, l'shem arava, and then you'll fulfill the mitzvah. Gemara says, v'ha ma'isim b'chayom d'lo ka'av dinan hachi. Look around the shuls and tukas, nobody does this. So clearly this was not the practice, and turns out we only do the zeicha of arava on Hoshana Rabbah no other day. Why not? So Amar Rav Zvid, mishmei d'arava, lulav d'araisa av dinan shiva, zeicha l'mikdash. Arava, which is only d'rabbanan lo av dinan le'shiva, zeicha l'mikdash. So it's clear. The mitzvah lulav is midiraisa and 7 days. So nowadays, even though it's not midiraisa, we can make a zecher. But a rava, the whole idea of a rava is only mitzvah midirabanan, so we don't do zechers for midirabanans. Gemara says, wait a second, Laman, who holds that a rava is only a mitzvah midirabanan? Elam, if you're going to tell me Abishol, which we saw a couple weeks ago, ha'amar arve nachal, the pasuk says, what's the double lashon arve, the plural arve, ksiv shtaim. Achas lulav, achas lemikdash. So according to Abishol, it's a mitzvah deraisa sourced in the pasuk. And E Lerabbanan, who did not hold of the pasuk, but they still held it's hilchas gemirle to halacha the Moshe of Sinai arava. Damar Rabbi Asi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunya ish bikas beis chortan. He held that there were three halacha Moshe of Sinai grouped together. Esen tiels, which we discussed, which is a certain halacha of the ability to plow erev shavis. Arava v'nisach hamayim halacha the Moshe Mesinai. So no matter how you slice it, it's either deraisa based on a pasuk or to deraisa based on halacha Moshe Mesinai. It's not a derabbanan. So again, back to square one. Why in the world are we not making a 7 day zecher of the rava? And the Gemara finally answers: Ella Amar of Zvid Mishmei the rava lulav de isle ikir min haTorah begvulin of dinan leshiva zecher lemikdash. That the lulav has a Torah pasuk that describes it, and therefore we can make a 7 day zecher. A rava de less le ikim retor, which means it's not explicit in the pasuk. Yes, it's a deraisa idea, but there's no mefurish pasuk that says take their rava. Either it's based on halacha Moshe Sinai, or it's based on a drush of arve nacha, but it's not explicit in any way. It's not ikim retor. So therefore, begvulin lav dinan shiva zeicha mikdash. And for that reason, we don't make a 7 day remembrance. We only have a 1 day remembrance, which is taking their ravos on Hoshana Rabbah. So now the Gemara says, back to the halachas v'arava in the Beis HaMikdash. Amar Reish Lakish, Kohanim Bali Mumim Nichnasin Bein Ha'ulam L'Mizbeach Kedei Lates Barava. So again, there's still a discussion how exactly one performs the mitzvah arava, but the assumption here is, Reish Lakish says, the Kohanim, even Bali Mumim, would go around, would circle around the Mizbeach, and they'd go even between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, just to remind everyone where the locations are. So when you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, you have the Mizbeach, and after, further in is the Ulam, and then after the Ulam is the Heichal, where you have the menorah and the Shulchan and the Mizbech HaKtoros. So the Bali Mumim are allowed to walk between the Mizbech and the Ulam further into the Beis HaMikdash, although normally they're not allowed to. When it comes to this particular mitzvah, they're allowed to. Now, why is that allowed? So the Ritva says, and the truth is, the reason that a Bali Mumim, or at least the basis for Bali Mumim not walking between the Mizbech and the Ulam, is only an Isser Midrabanan. When it comes to the mitzvah Rava, no big deal. They're allowed to circumvent that Isser Midrabanan and walk between the Mizbech and the Ulam. But the Rambam actually argues in the Ritva, and he says there's an Isser Deraisa for a Bali Mumim, Kohen Bali Mumim, to walk between the Mizbech and the Ulam. So how is this allowed? So the Megillas Esther and the Old Mepharshim and the Rambam explain that you're right. Even though there's an Isser Deraisa, the mitzvah of a rav is also deraisa. So that's docha, the isra to walk between the mizbeach and the ulam. So we have this machlokas ritva and the rabban, whether it's violating isra midirbanan or it's overriding a isra midiraisa. Either way, Reish Lakish felt that the kohanim bali mumim can circle around even between the ulam and the mizbeach to perform and fulfill the mitzvah of a rav. So comes now Reish Lakish's brother-in-law, his chavrusa, Amar le Rabbi Yochanan. Me Amar, who said this? So now, the question here, the Havamina, Rashi has to fill in because it doesn't make total sense without Rashi. Rashi says, Mi Amra, the first Mi Amra. He says, Mi Amra Hashta Sakadaitech. The Havamina here is the Hachikamar. Mi Amra Shi Chova. Rabbi Yochanan says to Reish Lakish, who says that the mitzvah of a Rav is a Chova? Who says that? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Mi Amra Ha Ihu Amra. What do you mean? Rabbi Yochanan himself is the one who told us that the mitzvah of a Rav is a Chiv. The Amr Rabbi Asi, Amr Rabbi Yochanan, he quotes Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Nechunia Ish Bikas Beis Acharton, Eser Netiyos, Arava, V'nisach HaMayim Halacha, the Moshe Mishinai. So how could Rabbi Yochanan challenge the level of obligation of the Arava? So that wasn't his question. He wasn't questioning whether it's a chiv or not. That much he knew. Elo, the question Rabbi Yochanan was challenging Reish Lakish was, Elami Amra B'netila. Who says the mitzvah is netila, that you have to take it and walk around the Mizbeach? Dilma, maybe the mitzvah is only bezekifa. And not only about walking around, but look how Rashi says this. Rashi says, Mi Amr bin Netila, around halfway down the Rashi's, V'tei chovas hakohanim dukamar lates. Who says it's a mitzvah netila, that every single kohen must take it, even the bali mumin? Maybe, says Rashi, Dilma bezekifa. V'kohen echad zokva ay dehakol. Maybe one kohen takes one arava branch and places it on the Mizbeach, and he's a motzi everyone else. You only need one kohen, v'ein chova al kulam. So first he challenges whether it's netila or zakifa, which indicate whether it's one kohen or every kohen. And then secondly, Rabbi Yochanan says, mi amra bebali mumin, dilma betvimim. Who says, even if you want to say the mitzvah is a netila, and you walk around the mizbeach, who says that every single kohen, even bali mumin, have to do it? Maybe it's only the tumimim, those who don't have bali mumin. And for those two reasons, he rejected Reish Lakish's assumption that the bali mumin is allowed to, in fact, walk through and around the mizbeach in that part. So now the Gemara says, on this topic further. So we're still talking about Arava, many different details of the Arava. So there's a machlokas now, I'm a rhyme here. Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shuben Levi, Chad Amar, Arava Yisod Nevim, the Chad Amar, Arava Minhag Nevim. So is it Yisod Nevim or is it a Minhag? So Yisod sounds a little bit stronger, it's a more foundation to it, and Minhag is simply a practice. What's a Nafkamina? So if the Nafkamina, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi says here, Yisod Nevim hu, Takanas Nevim Acharonim Chagai Zecharia Malachi. They are the ones who established the mitzvah of a Rava. Shehayu Mimas Kane Takanas Yisrael Be'anshe Knesset Gedolah. One of the Takanas of Anshe Knesset Gedolah. So that's Yisod Nevim. It's a strongly created minhag, Takana rather. And a minhag, Hinhigu Es Ha'am, this is a practice, V'lo Tiknulem. It wasn't established, but this was a practice and it developed into a long-standing minhag. Nafkamina says Rashi, the lo by bracha, you don't need to recite a bracha, the lek elememar vitzivanu, dafilu bechla lo sasser lesa, it's not lo sasser, lo sasser is the source, so you have to listen to the chachamim. So there's machlokas whether lo sasser applies to mitzvahs midirbanan, whether it applies to even minhagim, that's part of a larger discussion, the Ramban and the Rambam. Others say every single thing, whether it's a takana, whether it's a gzer, whether it's even a minhag, that's bechla lo sasser, you must listen even to practices. And others like Rashi say no. Lo sasser only includes to a takana made by the rabbis. But a minhag that we had established on our own just to happen organically, that's not called lo sasser. You don't have to necessarily listen to, or you should, but it's not a violation of lo sasser if you don't listen to it. That's one piece. The second piece that Rashi writes here is that whether you say a bracha on the arava. If it's yisod nevim, it's a takana, you say a bracha on a takana. If it's a minhag, you don't say a bracha. Now Rashi clearly assumes that you don't say a bracha on the minhag. We're going to have to wait till Amud Beis here. There's a decent-sized Tosos who's going to talk about whether you say a bracha on the minhag or not. That's part of a larger discussion, but wait on that point until we get to Amud Beis.
So this is Bigvulim or Bemikdash? Like the question.
This is Bigvulim. The mitzvah is only the Mizbeach, so in the base of Mikdash. The actual mitzvah arava, whether it's a yisod, whether it's a minhag. What you do in the Gvulim is only a zecher ba'alma.
So this goes against what we said, it's Moradach HaMashem Sinai.
No, well, Gemara is about to address this now. So Gemara then asks this very question. Very good. The Gemara says that machlokes whether uchad amar arava yisod nevim v'chad amar arava minag nevim tistaim. Let's conclude. The Rabbi Yochanan who damar yisod nevim. Damar Rabbi Yebo amar Rabbi Yochanan arava yisod nevim who tistaim. He says that clearly. So that's how we establish that Rabbi Yochanan holds yisod nevim. But wait a second. This is Ricky's question. Amar le Rabbi Zeira le Rabbi Yebo Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, does Rabbi Yochanan really say it's Yisod Nevi'im? V'ham Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Nechunia Ish Bikas Beis Chortan, Eser Netios, Arava, V'nisach HaMayim, Halacha Moshe Sinai. Not that it's a Yisod Nevi'im, this dates back before Yechagai Zechariah Malachi, it dates back to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. So what's the Gemara, how do you reconcile this stira? So Gemara says, Ishtomim Kisha Chada, they forgot it, V'amar, they explained, Shachacham V'chazra V'yastam. They forgot it. It was halacha Moshe Sinai. They forgot the halacha, and then they had reestablished it. They put it back into play. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, Shachacham begolus bavel. Shachachu es ha-Torah. They forgot the Torah in Bavel. Ba-mitzvos ve-mikas in certain parts of the mitzvos. Vezu nishcha legami. This was completely forgotten until the chazu ha-nevim acharonim and the v'yostam al-piyadibra, says Rashi. They brought them back in to play. So wait a second. Aruch HaNer says, we have a concept, lo b'shemayim hi. You can't trust a Navi. A Navi cannot bring a Torah. They can't bring a chiddush. Navi can't be mechadish adin. So Aruch HaNer says, that's only true when they're mechadish something. When they're reinstating an old mitzvah, an old Torah, that's not called being mechadish anything. That's not a violation of a lo b'shemayim hi. The Maariv Chiya says, had it not been for Rashi, he would have said something different. Rashi says, al pi dibur, that the nevuah they brought back. He says maybe the Nevi'im brought back through Pilpul. The Nevi'im knew how to learn. Maybe they learned the Sugya and all the Lamedes, and they're able to megala. This didn't. It wasn't al pi nevuah, and it's not a shaila here at all of lo b'shemayim. They learned through Torah. Through Torah, you can be mechadish. You just can't be mechadish through nevuah. Rashi says al pi dibur. So Rashi is al pi dibur. So at the end, you have to give the answer lo b'shemayim because they didn't create anything. They just revealed what was always. So now the Gemara says, is it really true? Umi amar Rabbi Yochanan hachi. Does Rabbi Yochanan really say that they forgot things in Bavel and Galus? This is a well-known mice. We'll look at Rashi to kind of recap what took place here. But Rabbi Yochanan said to his chaverim in Bavel, in Eretz Yisrael rather, you think the Torah is yours in Eretz Yisrael? It's the people who live in Bavel. They're much greater than us here. It's their Torah, which implies that they did not forget the Torah in Bavel and Galus. Look at Rashi. The decent-sized Rashi, we'll at least read the first few lines to kind of get the summary of a fascinating story there. The Gemara says, Rashi rather says, "V'hamer Rabbi Yochanan diluchun amri." You think it's yours, the Torah? Diluchun, he, it's theirs. The Rav Kana hayom itamidei Rav v'yacharif mo. Rav Kana was very, very sharp. He was a Talmud of Rav living in Bavel. Ubarach l'Eretz Yisrael, he ran to Eretz Yisrael based on the guidance of his Rebbe Rav lifnei Rabbi Yochanan to learn by Rabbi Yochanan machmas mardin sharag l'admechad. He killed someone. There was a whole maisa that took place. The guy was Moser. Rav Kana killed the guy. And then they had changed the leadership of the government there. So Rav told his Talmud, Rav Kana, get out of here before they take you responsibility. They're going to kill you for murder. So go to Eretz Yisrael, learn by Rabbi Yochanan. He says, when you learn by Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan had the eyes to kill. So don't ask any shilas for 7 years. Just sit there for 7 years and learn. Don't ask any shilas. And the whole mice, Rashi doesn't fill in the gap here. But Rav Kana came. The Reish Lakish was doing Chazarashir with the Talmidim. Rav Kana says, this is a question. That's a question. This is a question. Reish Lakish saw this was a sharp guy. He told his Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan, tomorrow, there's a very sharp guy who came from Bavel. Look out for him. So he comes to the shir. Yochanan's looking for this guy. He gives a whole shir. No one asks any questions. And he says, what's going on here? What happened to that guy? Your lion turned into a little fox. A little nothing now. Rabbi Yochanan, Rav Kana took, he was a little insulted by this. So he said, let the 7 years that my Rebbe said I should wait be worth the 7 chairs of rose. He let me sit back here. And he started bombing, asked questions to Rabbi Yochanan, this question and that question. Every question he asked, Rabbi Yochanan took another pillow from beneath him until finally he was on the ground. And then he was just, the whole shear was, thrown apart. And then he says, who is this guy asking questions? He had these long eyelashes. He couldn't see. So his attendant lifted up the eyelashes. He saw Rav Kana. Kind of had a little split in his lip. It looked like he was laughing at Rabbi Yochanan, but he wasn't. Rabbi Yochanan thought he was laughing at him. He killed him with his eyes, and that was it. The next day, Rabbi Yochanan comes back to Shir. So where'd that guy go? He said, Rebbe, you killed him. So the next day, he went to the kever where he was buried and said, let the Rebbe visit the Talmud. There's a big snake blocking the cave. The snake didn't budge. He said, let the chaver visit the chaver. The snake didn't budge. Let the Talmud visit the Rebbe. Finally, the snake moved. Rabbi Yochanan brought him back to life. And he said the statement, we thought the Torah was ours in Eretz Yisrael. In fact, it's the Torah of yours in Bavel. That was the whole Maisa. Great. We see from this, however, how can Rabbi Yochanan say they forgot the Torah in Golus? Golus, they knew more Torah than Eretz Yisrael. So Gemara ends up answering now in Amud Beis, in the top of Mem Dal Amud Beis, Kan B'miktash, Kan B'gvulim. Rashi explains, B'miktash, the mitzvah was halacha l'moshe m'sinai. And Begrulin, it was Yisod Nevi'im. So that's what they had established. They didn't forget it. They always knew the halacha, the Moshe Mishin, and the Beis HaMikdash. But they established, in the end of the Ansh Kines Gedolah, they established that they should also have some type of Zecher in the Begrulin, which was Yisod Nevi'im Hu. Now let's take a look at this decent sized Tosis. I'll say it outside against the different pieces here. But here we have Tosis points out that it's based on this is a Gemara that says Minog Nevi'im, it's an implication at least of Rashi. Rashi says you don't say Bracha on a Minog. So what about Halel, Rosh Chodesh? Halel is only a Minog. We only say a half Halel because it's a Minog. So should a person say a Bracha or not say a Bracha? So the Tosis first says one should not say Bracha on Halel Rosh Chodesh, which is the Psak of the Svardim. Svardim do not say Bracha on Halel Rosh Chodesh. So that would be based on this Gemara. You don't say Bracha on the Minog. But Rabbeinu Tam says, wait a second, but you can't bring Rirai from Arava. Arava is simply a tiltamama. You take it up. There's not much of a mitzvah. You're saying a bracha on what? You just kind of pick it up. So it makes sense not to say a bracha on such a minog. But if it comes to a serious minog, like reciting all of Hallel, the Rabbeinu Tam thinks one, in fact, should say a bracha. Now they bring around, I'm just kind of really summarizing in a quick way here. But there is another Gemara that implies otherwise. Although the minog in this Gemara is not to say bracha, there's another minog in the Gemara in Beitza, which is our next Masechta, which Gemara says in Yantav Sheni, you do say brachas because minog avoseinu biadenu. So some minogim you do say, some minogim you don't say. So Tosa says, really a stam minog does not deserve a bracha. But the minog avoseinu in Yantav Sheni is a very, it's not stam a minog, it's a whole takan, it's a whole institution of some sorts. That's not a classic case of minog. So it's a machlokas. What is considered the model, the prototype of a minog? Do we look at Yom Tov Sheni as a minog, and all other minogim should say bracha, or is a rava really the prototype, and we should not say brachas on minogim? That's part of the discussion. A fascinating Tosfos here, and then Tosfos ends up saying here, you can't really bring a rye from Yom Tov Sheni because even Yom Tov Sheni, we never say vitzivanu. All the brachas we say are always a kiddush or tefillah, or birchas hamazon, where the word tzivanu doesn't appear. We weren't commanded, so you're allowed to. And it's not a violation of saying, it's not a bracha. So then he said, what do you mean? We say a bracha on shofar, yom tov sheni, that's asher tzivanu. Asher kishamit tzitzat v'tzivanu, we say it there. There's no Rosh Hashanah, shofar to a whole nother takana. So again, a lot of back and forth. I'm not doing justice to this. I'm just kind of sharing some snippets here to show you this big discussion of whether one says a bracha on haminag. Okay, back inside the Gemara. Gemara now says top line here. Amar Rabbi Ami, Arava Tzvicha Shir, he says three halachas. One halacha is, you require a certain shir, we'll see what that shir is of the Arava. V'ein only tells El B'fni Atzma, you can only take it by itself, nothing else accompanying it. V'ein Adam Yotze Dechavasa Barava Shibalulav, and you cannot use the Arava that's within the Eged of the Lulav. So Gemara says, wait a second. Kevin Damar Mar, Ein only tells El B'fni Atzma, once we've established that you can only take the Arava by itself, obviously, Pshita, Dein Adam Yotze Barava Shibalulav. Certainly you can't use the one with the Lulav because it's mixed with other things like Adasim Aravos. So what's the Havamina? So the Gemara explains, Mal, the same, what would you have thought? Honey, mili heichi de lo agbe v'hadir agbe. Maybe if you didn't pick it up twice, the dalaminim. Aval agbe v'hadir agbe, emalo. But maybe if you picked up the dalaminim once, the shei mitzvah lulav, and then a second time, the shei mitzvah arava, maybe it should work. Kamashwan, it still doesn't work. It doesn't work that way. You have to pick it up by itself. So look at Rashi. Rashi says, Aval heicha de agbe l'shem nitiyas lulav, v'hadir agbe l'shem arava, that's a clear point, meaning the idea of taking it by itself would only be to make it clear for the shame of the mitzvah. So when you have other items, it doesn't make it clear for the shame mitzvah. When I pick up the dalaminim once and pick up a second time, maybe that's enough of a recognition and you should be yotze, even though it has other things accompanying it. Kamashlan, it must be by itself. It must be 100% clear you're doing this only the shame arava and for no other purpose. So then the Gemara says, Rav Chista, however, argued in Amr Rabbi Yitzchak, Adam Yotze Dechavasa Ba'arava Shibulav. He felt one can fulfill the mitzvah of Arava while it's in the Lulav. So the Gemara then says, Vakama Shi'ureha, what is the size? How big, how many do you have to have for the Arava? So Amr Rav Nachman, Gimel Bade Alin, Lachen, you need three stems, three moist stems. Rav Sheish is Amar, Afilu Ala Echad, Ubad Echad. Now the Havmin is, it's like a funny Havmin. It's the understanding is that you need one stem, even though there are no leaves, and one leaf separately. So you can pick up the arava, a stem without the leaf. It's a very strange halamina. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? You could think you could pick up a leaf separate from the branch. That doesn't make much sense. What he means is, even if there's one leaf on one branch, one could fulfill the mitzvah. That's brought down the halacha, but our practice is really to have five branches. That's how we have it. Based on later poskim understanding the sugya. So now the Gemara says further on this topic, Amar Aivel Havik Hamina Kame Derelazar Ben Tzadok. One time he was sitting in front of Rabbelazar Ben Tzadok, the Aisi Hahu Gavra Arava Kame, and a person came in front of him with an Arava. Shakel Chabit V'Chabit, he took it. He Chabit Rashi says he shook it. The Rambam felt he hit it on the ground. That's the Machokus we saw yesterday. V'lo Baruch, he did not say Bracha. Because Kasavar minag nevim, he felt it was a minag, and you don't say bracha a minag. Ivu v'chizkia, these two were bnei barte d'rav. They were grandsons of Rav. Their mother was a daughter of Rav, so they were grandchildren of Rav. Isia Rav l'kami d'rav. They were in the presence of his their grandfather Rav when they brought Rav to Rav and Hoshana Rabba. And what did he do? Chavit. He beat it or he shook it. V'lo barach. He didn't say bracha. He too kasavar minag nevim hu. So that's it. So now the Gemara says, now we're pretty much just finished with the discussion, at least for now, of a Rava. So now the Gemara discusses another topic of Ivu. So Amar Ivu, Havi Kamina, Kame, the Rabbi Elazar, Bar Tzadok, another instance, he was standing in front of Rabbi Elazar, and also the Kame, Hahu Gavra. A certain person came in front of him, and he asked the Shaila. Amar, he says, Kriyasa Isli, Krami, Isli, Zesi, Isli, Kriyasa Isli, Krami, Isli, Zesi, Isli. So he says to him, I have some villages, and I have some vineyards, I have some olive orchards, and I have people, Vasi Bnei Kriyasa, people from the city, Umikashkashin Bikarma V'Ochen Bezesa. So they're working in my kerem, in my vineyard. It was during Shemitah, Rashi points out. They were doing some type of ode, which means like they're digging a hole around the tree of some sort to allow the water to come in. And I was paying them with olives. It was a Shemitah year. So he wanted to know, Arich or Lo Arich, was that appropriate or not appropriate? So there are two questions here that we have to grapple with. One is, doing avodah during Shemitah. He was doing kishkush, which is some type of digging around the tree. Number two is using peirush shviyas to pay that sfeschara. There's a double question that's being asked here. So he says, Aruch, is this a correct thing to do? Oh, lo aruch, not correct thing to do. So he responds back, Amrlei lo aruch, this is not the correct thing to do, Havi. So Rashi says, Amrlei lo aruch, lefi sha'ata pareh pu alasam mi peirush shviyas. You can't use perishvias for paying, has to be for eating only. So he says you should not pay them with these olives. So the Gemara then says, okay. So Kashavik Lev Azul, he went off. This man left. So Amr, so now Rabbi Elazar Tzadok says to Ivo, he says about this man who came in, Kadhalas Adairi Baira, I've been living in this land for Arbam Shan, for 40 years I've been living here. I never saw a person Barinish Mahalik Bor Orchan that went in the path of Yashus to Tikkun and Kedin to Kedin, like this guy. This is the most Yashu person I ever met. That's what he said. Okay, I'm not sure why he said that. I'm not sure what's teaching us here, but either way, this guy was very Yashu. Then, after making the statement, Hadar Vasi, the guy came back in for a second question. He says, Amar Lei Rebbe, Maim Yavit, so what should I do? So you told me I shouldn't do that. So I have got the guy working on my vineyard. I've been paying him with olives. What should I do at this point? So he said, Amalei, afker zeisei, lechashuchei. You should be mafker the zeisim for the anim, because it should be hefker, that's what shvius is, for the anim to take. V'tein prite, lekishkushei, karmim, and pay money out of pocket. Pay some, give some money, cash, to the guys who are working on your kerem. So now the Gemara says, wait a second, but shvius, how could anyone work on your land during shvius? It has to be hefker, both in terms of the fruit, and both in terms of, and also in terms of the work in the land. The kishkushe mishari, are you allowed to do the digging of the ground around the tree? V'hatanya, the pasuk said, the Brisa quotes the pasuk, v'ashviyis tishmetenu unetashta, tishmetenu milakashkesh, unetashta milasaka. What it means is, the drasha is, you have to remove yourself from doing kishkush, and also you're not allowed to do lasaka. You can't remove stones to make things grow better. So how is he allowed to do this kishkush? So Gemara says, Amarev ukva barchama tre kishkushe havu. There are two types of kishkum. Chad stume pile, V'chad abruye, ilane. So if you look at Rashi to explain a little bit further here, Rashi says, stume pile shashrashim megulim. The roots of the tree are above ground now, they're exposed. Tzarech l'chasosem shlo yavesh ha'ilan. You need to cover them up so they shouldn't dry out. V'ok me'ali ilane hu shlo yavesh, so the tree shouldn't die. V'ina also l'shashbichan ela l'kaiman. That's shari. You're not doing it to make it grow better, you're doing it to prevent it from dying. So the two types. If you're trying to do it to prevent the damage, that's allowed. To enhance, to promote growth, that would be usur. So if you're trying to fill in the holes, that's allowed. If you're trying to give more dirt and more enrichment to it, that would be usur. So that's what the Gemara says. Ivru ilane usur, in order to enrich the growth, that's usur. That's the kishkushi, that's usur. But stume pila, but to cover the cracks, to cover the exposed roots, that would be shari. And that was what he was talking about in this particular case. Let's finish the Amr now. The Gemara says, Amr Ivo, another case, Mishum, Rabbi Elazar bar Tzadok, Al Yahalik Adam, completely different topic again. Al Yahalik Adam ba'arve Shabbosos, Yosem Megimel Parsos. A person should not travel on Erev Shabbos more than 3 parsa away. So Amr of Kana, Rav Kana says this is only true log Amr and Ella Lebesa to one's own house. He should not travel. Aval Ishbuze, Amai Denakit, Samech But to a guest, he's allowed to. What's going on here? So you need to look at Rashi. Rashi says here that lo yahalich el yishbos lo ba'od yom gadol v'yachin lo suda Shabbos. The concern was that you should only go home if there's enough time to prepare food for you. They're not expecting you to come home. You're traveling. They didn't have the communications we have nowadays. They don't know when you're going to show up. You show up 10 minutes before Shabbos, what's going to happen? El lebeis, it's your own house, says Rashi. Shaholich lebeis, you come home, you think you're surprising your wife and kids. V'heim einim yodim shiyavu hayom. They were unaware you were coming. V'hein machinim letzorcha. They didn't prepare for you anything. V'hu kois alem. You're going to get so angry for not, you know, preparing your favorite meal. Therefore, if you're so far away, and it's going to be a long distance till you get home, and you will make it right before Shabbos, don't come to your own house. But when it comes to a guest, where you're not relying on them, they're not expecting you to come at all. You are, whatever food you have with you is what you expect to eat. You're allowed to show up to a guest unexpected right before Shabbos, but not to your own house. The Mishnah Berurah brings us down the halacha. There's not some nogeh b'zmanazeh because many times people, Baruch Hashem, prepare surplus of food. So there's not so much of a concern that they won't prepare for you and you'll get angry. And also, plus nowadays, even more so, we have communications. People know when to expect you. So nowadays, this doesn't seem to be so relevant. But then the Gemara says there's a whole ikadamri here. There's a whole other version of the Gemara. Ikadamri, Amar Rav Kana, lo nitzcha, this is only needed to be taught, el afilu besa. It's a completely different perspective now. Look at Rashi to explain. Rashi says, afilu besa. Dimash emotzi, imat imrav shalo, hu afa biken lo yahalich, v'koshken lushbize, shalo yimate klum. So he says here, even to your own house you shouldn't show up, and koshken to someone else's house, because at least in your own house, maybe they'll expect you to come, maybe not. But a guest will not expect you to come at all, so it's the opposite. That you certainly shouldn't go to a guest. Maybe you should go to your own house. Kamashman, even to your own house, you shouldn't go because it might lead to this whole Shalom Bayis issue. And the Gemara says, Amar Rav Kana b'didi hava uvi, the once I experienced such a case, v'afilu karsi d'harsana lo ashkai, that in my own house I didn't even have a small piece of herring to eat. So you see, this is certainly a relevant concern to have. Gemara, let's quickly recap what we did today. The Gemara said in the beginning, we spoke about why we have 7 days of Lulav and only 1 day of the Arava. And after going back and forth, finally we said, because since the Lulav is based in a Mefurish Pasuk, we're able to make a Zeicha for 7 days. But the Arava, which is only either Halach Mutra Sinai, or only hinted at in the word Arve Nachal, it's not Ikir Min HaTorah, although it is Daraisa concept, we only made 1 day of Zeicha. Then we had Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan arguing about whether Baal Mum could go around the Mizbeach. Rabbi Yochanan says, number one is, how do you know that the mitzvah is netila to go around? Maybe it's only a zakifa and only one coin does it. Number two is, even if it is netila to go around, maybe only tamimim do it, not the baimumim. Then we have machlokas, whether or not a rav is yesod nevim or minag nevim. The question being whether the nafkamina being a bracha on a minag not, but a bracha on yesod nevim, you would say. And then we said that they forgot it, and then they were reminded of it. The Nevi'im brought it back, and the Gemara says, no, can't be. Rabbi Yochanan says they don't forget things in Galus. They actually knew more in Galus than they knew in Eretz Yisrael. So the difference was when the base of Mikdash was Halach al Moshe Sinai, in Gvulin it was the Yesod Nevi'im or the Minog Nevi'im. We discussed the shear of it. It should be either one or three branches. You should only take it by itself, not with any other minim. And then the Maisa of the two people came in front of Rabbi Elazar Bar Tzadok, and they both took the Lulav, took the Arava, but did not say Bracha because they assumed it was a Minog Ba'alma. And then the Maisa of the guy on Shavuos who came in front, who had paid his workers with the fruit, he was told he shouldn't. You can't use fruit of Shavuos to pay. You should rather be mafkir fruit and pay out of pocket. And then two types of kishkushim. It was to enhance the growth that's usher during Shemitah. If it's simply to prevent damage, that would be allowed during Shemitah. Then finally, a person should not travel to his house Erev Shabbos if it's more than three parcels away. Okay, everybody, have a wonderful Shabbos.